8. The Civil War in the Indian Territory. Chapter Preview. Terms. Tariff, states' rights, free state, slave state, secede, compromise of 1850, abolitionist, underground railroad, popular sovereignty, Confederate States of America, neutral, guardianship, guerrilla. People: Abraham Lincoln, Albert Pike, Ben McCullough, John Ross, Stan Watie, Apothleyahola, James Blunt. Places: Public Land Strip, Fort Davis, Fort McCullough, Pea Ridge, Cowskin Prairie, Fort Blunt, Honey Springs. The common ground that had united the colonists in the American Revolution was slowly being displaced by disagreements over political issues. As the country grew, so did the differences, primarily between the northern and the southern states. The many disagreements escalated until they erupted in 1861 in an event that was far more horrific than anyone could imagine at the time, the American Civil War. The war pitted brother against brother, friend against friend. The human loss was huge, and the economic destruction was almost beyond repair. It would take years to recover. Tragic events weren't new to the people in the Indian Territory. They had recently experienced forced removals from their homes to a new land. Life, though not perfect, was beginning to get easier for many of the Native Americans. Although not citizens of an official state or territory, the people of the Indian Territory soon found themselves drawn into the white man's bloody conflict. Even though the Civil War did eventually end, the devastating effects were lasting and costly. Section 1. Divided Loyalties. As you read, look for the events and issues that led to the Civil War and vocabulary terms: tariff, states' rights, free state, slave state, secede, compromise of 1850, abolitionist, underground railroad, popular sovereignty, and Confederate States of America. Conflict is a natural part of life, brought on by our different beliefs, experiences, and values. The conflicts began to grow and widen in the United States in the 1800s, and successful solutions to the problems didn't keep pace. Tariffs, taxes, on goods, both imported and exported, were viewed differently by the northern and southern states. There were also regional differences on whether federal or state authority should prevail. This came to be known as the issue of states' rights. By the 1850s, industry had joined agriculture in importance in the North, and thousands of immigrants arriving in the Northeast provided cheap labor for its factories. The South's economy was based on agriculture. Most people in the southern states lived on small farms and owned no slaves. Fewer in number, the powerful, wealthy southern plantation owners strongly believed that African slaves were essential to their economy and lifestyle. With a larger population, the North had more representatives in the U.S. House of Representatives, and the southern states believed that their way of life was threatened. Increasing tensions. Slavery had once existed throughout the United States, but it had died out in the North because immigrants provided the cheap labor needed by the North's economy. Slavery might also have died out in the South had cotton not become such an important part of the South's economy. In 1819, the United States had 22 states. 11 were free states, states that did not allow slavery. 11 were slave states, states that did permit slavery. The 1820 Missouri Compromise established the 36-degree, 30-minute north parallel as the line dividing the slave and the free states. That legislation was one of the first attempts at maintaining the balance of power in Congress. The balance was threatened when California applied to become the 31st state in 1849. Senator John C. Calhoun of South Carolina spoke out for states' rights and demanded that the balance between slave states and free states be maintained. He threatened that the southern states would secede, break away, from the Union if the balance was not maintained. Even though opposed to slavery, both Henry Clay of Kentucky and Daniel Webster of Massachusetts proposed the Compromise of 1850 to save the Union. After 8 months of heated debate, the Compromise of 1850 tried to resolve many of the issues. The Texas-New Mexico boundary was settled, and Texas received $10 million to pay off its debts to Mexico. The northern boundary of the Texas Panhandle was established at the 36-degree, 30-minute north latitude line. The Texas Panhandle's northern boundary is also the Oklahoma Panhandle's southern boundary. The territories of New Mexico and Utah were organized without a mention of slavery. California was admitted as a free state. Also included in the compromise was a new and stronger Fugitive Slave Act, which required all citizens to help recover fugitive slaves. Many Northerners refused to obey the act and continued to help slaves escape from the South. The abolitionists, those against slavery, became even more active with the Underground Railroad, which was a secret network of safe places for slaves to hide as they escaped to the North or Canada. As it turned out, the Compromise of 1850 was only a temporary solution. Tempers flared again when the Kansas-Nebraska Act of 1854 was passed. The act formed Kansas and Nebraska territories and provided for popular sovereignty, which allowed those living in those two territories to decide for themselves if they wanted slavery. Violence between pro-slavery and anti-slavery groups broke out in Kansas, and that territory came to be called Bloody Kansas. When it became a territory, Kansas proposed that its southern border meet the Texas line. After strong objections from the Cherokee tribe, the Kansas border was moved to 37 degrees north. That left a 34.5-mile by 167-mile rectangle west of the Cherokee outlet and east of the New Mexico Territory. This was called the Public Land Strip, or No Man's Land, as it became known in the 1880s. The Strip, or Panhandle, became part of Oklahoma Territory in 1890. More fuel was added to the slavery debate by the 1857 U.S. Supreme Court ruling in the Dred Scott case. The court ruled that slaves were, quote, beings of an inferior order with no rights which white men were bound to respect, end quote. The ruling meant that Congress had no right to stop slavery in the territories. The election of 1860. The presidential election of 1860 brought the tensions to a head. The Democratic Party split over the issue of slavery. The Northern Democrats supported Stephen A. Douglas of Illinois, and the Southern Democrats nominated John C. Breckinridge of Kentucky. The North-dominated Republican Party nominated Abraham Lincoln of Illinois on a platform that opposed the spread of slavery and supported free Western homesteads, protective tariffs, and a transcontinental railroad. John Bell of Tennessee was nominated by the newly formed Constitutional Union Party, which primarily stood for maintaining the Union and the Constitution. With the Democratic Party split, the Republican Lincoln won 40% of the popular vote and 60% of the electoral votes. A simple majority is required. All of Lincoln's electoral votes were from northern and western states. Lincoln had no support in the South. In fact, he wasn't even on the ballot in a number of southern states. Almost immediately, southern states began carrying out their threat to secede. South Carolina withdrew from the Union on December 20, 1860. Within 6 weeks, Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, and Texas had followed. In February 1861, these seven states formed a new government called the Confederate States of America. Jefferson Davis of Mississippi was chosen as its president. War broke out between the North and the South in April 1861 at Fort Sumter near Charleston, South Carolina. Arkansas, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Virginia soon joined the Confederacy. Both sides were confident of a quick victory. It's your turn. Number one, how did the economies of the North and the South differ? Number two, how did California's request to become a state upset the balance in Congress? Number three, name the 11 states that made up the Confederate States of America.